Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 81, the World Cup edition. I'm Kevin. I got Yanis over here with me. How you doing, bro?
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. We are recording this on Boxing Day, which, if you don't know, is December 26th, the day after Christmas. So happy holidays to everybody that celebrates. And yeah, I mean, listen, we got some Prem games today, but we're going to talk about the World Cup because we have not talked about it yet. We took a little bit of a pause during the holiday season and the World Cup. Just a lot of shit going on, but we're back. And I mean, wow. What a World Cup, eh?
Probably, I want to say one of our best ones that we've seen in our lifetime.
I think this was my favorite World Cup in my lifetime.
I'd say it's definitely, I think it's up there. I actually think it might be. I'm just thinking of like who had like the most upsets, and I think it's 2022 for sure. The final was crazy. That's in itself.
This was one of the best finals we've probably had in a long time. Because last World Cup's final was like meh. The final before that was good. But this one, it had everything.
This one had everything, literally everything. Yeah, no question. I mean, honestly, for Qatar 2022 came in, like, a lot of criticism about how the tournament was even like awarded to Qatar and stuff like that, and how like a lot of things off the field, a lot of off the field concerns, and for the right reasons. And I mean, some were justified. But if we're speaking about what's happened on the field, I think it was probably one of the best ones for sure, by far.
I mean, we had the perfect amount of, I feel like, upsets, as well as like strong performances from like contenders. We got like crazy matchups, and I think like the results I think the only one thing that we could say that maybe we haven't that didn't like live up to the expectations of like past World Cups was like in terms of like high quality goals. I feel like maybe we didn't have as many you think about like what was it like 2014, like the Flying Dutchman, and a couple others like the James volley, and you know, other goals kind of other World Cups kind of have like those iconic goals. And I think this one doesn't have like that one iconic goal. I think the Mbappe, you know, what was which game was it where he got the brace
against Poland,
and I think his first and second goal were like sublime. Like his second goal, I feel like did not get enough credit. Because the angle and the curve and just deciding to take that shot itself was insane to me. But yeah, I think that's probably the only thing about this World Cup that maybe didn't live up to like past World Cups. I don't know if
you have any thoughts on that, but I actually disagree
really?
With that. Yeah, because
think is about there one it. Goal this World Cup that lives up to like the Flying Dutchman of Van Persie or like the James volley?
I think the Richarlison bicycle. B1?
That's the only one. But it also kind of gets like overtaken because like Brazil didn't do anything this World Cup, you know?
Fair enough, but the Mbappe vol in the final on the second goal.
Yeah.
It's technique wise, it's as complicated as the Flying Dutchman's header.
It's just not as iconic, I guess, is what I'm saying.
In the final though, Kev.
I know. I'm not saying it's not good, but I'm just saying like I don't think people are going to be talking about that specific goal
as much
like
as
years to come. But people still really? Talk about the Flying Dutchman, and there's pictures of it everywhere and whatever, you know?
Okay, but I mean, to be fair, the Flying Dutchman, I mean, Van Persie did it in the trashing of Spain in a group stage game, the first group stage game, match day one. Mbappe does
people
it in the
final. Don't even remember like the context of it. They just remember the iconic picture of him, you know, like in the middle of the air all alone with a diving header from like close to outside the box.
I mean, it's one of the craziest goals like of World Cup history for sure. But I think if you take the context into account, like I think the Mbappe goal has to be above him just because of how big it was and at that moment, like what was at stake.
Yeah. I mean Mbappe is like surreal. He's gonna break all the records.
He's gonna break all the records.
Maybe not all the Messi records, but everything else.
Yeah, everything else. I think you mentioned the ups before, like upsets. That was to me the team of the group stage. Like if we look at like the group stage,
yeah.
go like by stage of how the World Cup went. Group stage was the team was upset after upset after upset. Saudi Arabia to begin with, Argentina, that nobody saw coming.
That was like the start off the tournament too. And you saw people were posting like those pictures of like when Spain won the World Cup, they also lost the first game, and they were like, "Oh, like with the eye emojis."
That's what I thought about as well. I was like, "Oh, that's a sign." But I thought it was too good to be true.
I think Canada also started kind of like somewhat hot. You know, when we gave Belgium a run for their money, people were like, "Oh, like watch out for Canada. Maybe they can." And then we just kind of just like it kind of just ended up being that Belgium just really sucks.
Yeah.
And that's why the game was kind of close.
We had one, our best half of football must have been against the Belgians by far.
I mean, we needed to get a result in that game.
We needed to get a result in that game. Like, we need.
Like, looking back, that was the game that we needed a result from.
Because if you start this game, like, if you start well, like, this could, like, speed you on your whole tournament. This is trigger, like, you having great games for the rest of the tournament. And you could, we've seen it with other teams as well. Like, for instance, Japan beating Germany. If they don't beat Germany, I don't think they beat Spain. And that changes your entire tournament.
Yeah. I mean, it's all a confidence game too, right? Like, you know, you get one good result to start the game and you kind of start having even more belief in yourself than you did in the past. And it really affects your play. But yeah, I think Canada has a lot to look forward in the future. We won't spend too much time on them this episode. As Canadian fans we are, I think it was kind of disappointing to see us go out with like the way we did, but also kind of like we understood that it was always going to be a difficult, like we had a really hard group. Belgium was ranked second, Croatia was what, like a top 10 team. And Morocco ended up making it to the semifinals. So like our group probably ended up being one of the hardest ones.
I think our group was a group of death because we have two semifinalists. And I mean, yeah, I think we probably had high, very, very high expectations as the Canadian people because we haven't seen Canada in the World Cup since 86. So everybody was kind of like very, very optimistic and very, very, as they should be. But we also had to be very, very, we weren't as realistic as I thought we should have because Morocco doesn't seem like, on paper, Morocco is a great team, but on the field, they were even better. And Belgium, especially if you don't get that win against Belgium, and you can't really expect anything much against Croatia because Croatia needed the win against Canada more than anybody, really.
I mean, Croatia is probably the most kind of like experienced like team, one of the most experienced teams at the tournament, right? Like a lot of the players that were at last World Cup were here. They have a couple of young players that made the starting lineup, but they're a very well like compact squad, you know, like very hard team to beat.
And it was funny because I think in 2018, I've heard a lot of talks about how it was a fluke for them to actually make it to the final. Now we kind of see that it's not a fluke anymore. Like this was legitimate, this was earned, for sure. Luka Modric, Perisic, the Kovacic, the whole gang, like they've deserved to get to those two like semifinals. And
the big guys turned up.
Yeah, the big guy turned up. Croatia is one of the powerhouses in football, and people have to recognize that now. I mean, I think they already do, but like now it's not even a question anymore. When you talk about the big nations of football, you got to put Croatia out there.
They still have like young talent. Like people are kind of, I guess, worried that like after this era of like Modric and Perisic and Kovacic, like they're gonna kind of take a couple steps back, but they have guys in the works and that are already contributing to the time. Like, you know, what's his name, 20-year-old defender,
the best defender in the tournament,
Gardeval, who got exposed by Guardiol, who got exposed by Messi.
That's his one bad moment.
I mean, he's probably gonna get a huge move,
bro. It's either Chelsea or Madrid, apparently.
I could see him at Madrid.
I could see Madrid, especially, well,
I don't want him to go to Chelsea.
Chelsea and Madrid have similarities in terms of the fact that they have an aging center back. They have an aging defense, even though, like, Madrid signed Rudiger this year. Rudiger isn't, like, young anymore.
Yeah, he's not the world class guy either.
Yeah, he's not work or he's well. He was, I guess you could say that he was last year, but this year he's not as he's not the really good that he used to be. You could say the same thing about Koulibaly. That probably should have happened a couple years before, but that's you see, we know
how he missed his chance.
Yeah, and we know how Napoli is tough with business. But anyways, their defense that could definitely use Guardiola. I don't know where he goes in the end. I know he loves Madrid more. I think he mentioned that he's leaning towards Madrid. But if Chelsea comes with a good offer, I don't think he can refuse it. And
I mean, yeah, they want to get their money's worth. Then yeah, they're gonna have to.
And I think that's probably gonna happen this summer because Leipzig wants still needs him for like the rest of the season, which is completely understandable. And also, they just signed in, Chelsea just signed Nkunku, so Leipzig and Chelsea has a partnership already. So
I saw somebody say this, and it's kind of, I feel like it's kind of true, but Chelsea are like the club that sign players who have no idea what their best position is, and I kind of see it. You know, like Havertz and Nkunku, and I don't know. It feels like they always kind of get these guys that are kind of like ambiguous. Like getting Yao Felix would kind of feel the same as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because now they're like, that would be three guys where you're like, they have similar skill sets, but they don't know their best positions.
Yeah. And I thought that was really funny when I saw that.
Interesting, yeah.
But if we had to talk about like the biggest collapses of the group stage, is it, it's got to be Belgium, right?
Well, there's three, but Belgium is the worst one. There's Belgium, to me. There's Denmark, and then there's Germany. I think Belgium is by far the worst one. You mentioned, when you talked about Croatia earlier, you mentioned about like how there's the youth is like, there's an up-and-coming generation for Croatia. I don't really see that with Belgium. I don't see where the next generation is coming was going to come from. I thought it was going to be with Jeremy Doku, and I expected him to have a bigger like showing this tournament, but he barely played. And when he played, he was effective, but he played, it wasn't like, it was too little, too late. So outside of him,
yeah,
I don't see who else.
I think they're really in a pickle now because I think we've had this golden generation who has won nothing that we keep calling the golden generation for some reason because they had so much talent, but this talent has like completely aged out. And I mean, they're not going to be a powerhouse. Like they're gonna shoot down the rankings. Like they've never won anything. When they had to, how much is on the coach? That's up for debate. Because I think Martinez kind of like really did not do anything with this team. And I mean, I don't even know how he got the job, to be honest. It feels like he's never really done anything on the biggest stage. Like he's kind of had like a couple flops here and there. And it kind of wasted his talent. And it feels like there was already internal drama. Within this Belgium team, like we saw with like Courtois and like Kevin De Bruyne, and you know, Britannia, I don't know,
as a hazard.
Yeah, so I don't know, it's very, very troubling, and I think this team is not going to be in a good place in a couple of years. Who will be their next coach? Did they already get a new coach? I think Henri was linked, right?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be Thierry Henry because he's already in the system. I wouldn't be surprised if it was him.
He's not had the best track record either, so as a coach.
That's the thing, yeah. As a coach, he doesn't have the best track record. I think just because he's been in the Belgium system for a minute now, maybe it's
a... And he's going to be losing a lot of players. Like, what happens when, you know, Hazard isn't there anymore, when the center-back duo, Alderweireld and Vertonghen aren't, like, you know, maybe they keep playing for a couple more years, but they're not going to be the same guys. Like, they're already, like, in their mid-30s. You know, De Bruyne, he's going to probably still be there, but like he's not the youngest chap either. You know, you're losing basically all your players, and I don't know if I trust Thierry Henry to like get results with a squad that isn't like that needs to develop a little bit. You know,
yeah, he's definitely gonna have to do a lot of scouting. To me, the national team should probably put a lot more emphasis on Leandro Trossard from Brighton. He's probably been
he's been great.
He's been, I think, one of Belgium's best players in terms of the league season.
Great for my fantasy team as well.
Well, yeah, a little shout out to the fantasy team there. Courtois is good. Courtois is good because he's a keeper. You can stay a bit longer.
Yeah.
De Bruyne, I think De Bruyne is 30 now, so he should still be good.
Yeah. For the next tournament. He's still going to be great.
But, my worry is, yeah. I think Hazard's everybody else. Done.
Yeah, Hazard's done, and he was already basically done this tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure he already retired, as far as I know. I'm pretty sure he has. There's still some guys like the Witzels or the Dunkers. Lukaku's a worry.
Those are all going to be gone.
Yeah, Lukaku's a worry too, because I don't know where.
I mean, he's already kind of like trending down heavily.
Trending down heavily, and you could see in the last game, like, I mean, it wasn't good for him. Let's just say that.
He was probably a little bit better than Lautaro Martinez this tournament.
I agree, but there was a twist. you saw this tweet I sent you about the Lautaro Martinez and like Lukaku proved that Conte is the best manager in the world.
Yeah, because he made them look really good.
I thought that was actually kind of clever. But yeah, Lukaku had a difficult tournament. Obviously, he's coming back from an injury, so you can't really expect him to be 100%. But that one game where they needed him the most. And he had chances, too. He had chances.
Like Lautaro. Like, they had Messi gave so many passes to Lautaro on a silver platter where it was like him and the keeper, and he didn't even get it on target.
Yeah, he has.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about Denmark, because I feel like we're all mentioning Belgium because, you know, they didn't even make it out of the groups. And for them, it was kind of like they were in the talks for, like, making the final, right? And that's why it's kind of so devastating and so crazy and how big of a disappointment it was. I don't think people had Denmark, you know, competing for the World Cup, but they were, like, a lot of people's dark horse team. And they had, like, probably worse results than Belgium, like, when you think about it. That was one of the biggest surprises to me, the fact that, yeah, exactly, they didn't even get a win. So, and they were like everybody's, you know, make it to the semifinals potentially. Like everybody's Morocco was Denmark coming into the tournament.
That's a good way of putting it. I had Denmark in the semis.
Exactly. A lot of people did. But it didn't work out.
I don't know what happened because I can see why they would lose to France. That's not, I mean, even that France game, like they've beaten France, I think, twice before that game. So. You would still expect them to have a good showing against them. But the Australia game, the first one, is not the first one, sorry, because they started against Tunisia, if I remember correctly. That game they should have won. They didn't. And then that just opened up the opportunity for Australia, because once Australia got the win against Tunisia in the second game, now all they have to do is get somewhat get 3 points against Denmark, and they're good. And Australia played. I think Australia just wanted it more than Denmark. Sorry.
Australia like had their good performances this tournament.
Yeah, it was,
They give Messi for a run for their money.
Oh my God! They almost. I mean, we'll talk about Argentina and their 2-0 lead. Their issue with those, but like Australia gave Argentina a run for their money towards the end, and that could have been. One of the biggest shocker of like football history. If Australia had done it, that would have been massive. But outside of that, in terms of other games in the group stage, I thought South Korea did pretty well against South Korea. Portugal was one of the good ones too.
I thought the both like bigger Asian teams like the South Korea and Japan. I thought they had a really good tournament overall. I think they played really well, really consistent. What I love about these Asian teams, it kind of feels like they're always considered the underdog, right? Like, because they're always going up against these, like, bigger South American teams or European teams. But I really like how the fact that they can compete. It just feels like they always give 110% effort. And it makes a difference because it just feels like they have a really strong mentality when it comes to this. And they are super passionate, like, more passionate than people think. And when they come up against these other juggernaut teams, a lot of times it kind of just feels like they can win or... It's like a battle of attrition, and they always win the battle of attrition because they just want it more. That's what it kind of feels like. That's what it looks like when I watch them play. Like they all have so much passion and so much energy throughout the whole game that as the game progresses, they get better and better because the other team gets more tired, and they can't follow up anymore. And then you kind of when they come up against a team that's like completely dominates them in talent, it's hard to do much at that point. But when they can. They're in kind of like the same kind of bracket level of talent. I really like their chances at winning games and getting results because they have so much energy and so much passion. It always feels like.
That makes sense. I just thought that I was more impressed with South Korea than Japan because I expected Japan to do something in their group. Remember the past games, past tournaments, Japan, they've always been close, but they've never got like to that the next step. I think they actually against Belgium, that was the last time they got Belgium, I think it was 2018, and they lost like the last second, which was really like devastating for them. But like Japan is capable of like not necessarily upsetting teams, but like getting the win, getting those 3 points. And I didn't really see that with South Korea yet until this tournament.
This tournament.
And that was pretty impressive because, I mean, everything goes through Sun. And if Sun doesn't have a good tournament, which at that point he didn't really have, South Korea doesn't really do much. But in terms of there's a few moments where they had that one striker that stepped up against Ghana for two big goals. I thought Kang In Lee was one of the best South Korean players in the tournament. When he came in, he was always effective. Watch out for him. I think he's going to get a move eventually. But that one action that Sun had for that 2-1 goal against Portugal, that was like the trigger. That was the best action, I think, the best counterattack probably of the tournament. And how big it meant not just for Sun, but like for the entire team as well, the entire country. And you could tell how they celebrated. Like they were, I mean, it was exuberant. I don't know what the word I could use. Exuberating.
It was like a pure, I know what you mean. It was just like a pure, like ecstasy for them.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw seeing it live was crazy too. Like, I remember I was jumping. I was like, yo, they actually did it.
Yeah, and nobody expected it.
Yeah, I think it also had to do with how this. I mean, the way that the kind of the game kind of set themselves up. The Match Day 3 was the biggest game of the of
it. Yeah, it meant the most. It was all everything was on the line.
Everything was on the line for a lot of games. Even the Argentina against Poland game, like Messi showed out because he had to. Even Lewandowski did his thing.
Lewandowski was kind of disappointing this tournament, right? Like it kind of felt like Poland never really had control of the ball. They never really gave Lewandowski chances.
He had one game to do his thing, and he did against Saudi Arabia. That's the one game where I'm like, okay, he did what he had to do. If we're being honest, the best Polish player was probably Szczesny because he saved 2 PKs.
Yep, he had a really good tournament.
He had a really good tournament, yeah. So did Ochoa as well. I thought Ochoa was, I mean, that's as always.
Yeah, but we never really had high hopes for this Mexican team this season.
Yeah. I had them going through. I was kind of disappointed about that, but hopefully they sacked Tata Martino, so hopefully they kind of get it right because they're not even the best team in CONCACAF anymore.
I feel like they're in a transition period.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it. They need a lot of working out to do in the Mexican Federation. I was happy about. Let's talk about Africa real quick tour before we end this knockout this group stage. Africa was. I don't know what grade to give Africa in terms of this. I think I was pretty happy. I mean, outside of Moroccans.
Morocco. I mean, like they make history for Africa, right? Like they're furthest team to ever make it from the African continent. I think well deserved. This Moroccan team, I feel like, proved a lot of people wrong, because they played. I feel like they played a really good style of football. That they knew what they needed to do, and they executed the game plan perfectly. And I think they surprised a lot of teams because they didn't concede any goals until they played France. Yeah. Like they conceded the one own goal against Canada, but that was it. And they played some of the best teams in the tournament.
It did. That's the thing. They had the hardest path to the semis of the tournament, I think.
Yeah, you can't take anything away from them.
Yeah, absolutely, you cannot. This is the best performance of an African team in the history of the World Cup, which I didn't really see coming because the last game I saw of Morocco in the friendly was against the U.S. and they got smacked 3-0. And I think the U.S. is a good team, but 3-0, even 3-0 is kind of a big score, so I didn't really expect much of them. But overall, like I'm glad that they went as far as they went because it shows that Africa can do it. It shows to African teams that it is possible, and especially how they did it too. The Moroccan coach, a lot of players that a lot of them were raised in Europe, but also a lot of them were made through their academy that they have set up in Morocco. I can't remember the name. It's like a King Mohammed something. It's a It's like a Clairefontaine, kind of like yeah. how France has. They have a lot of players came from that, so it kind of shows you that the system of how to, I guess, develop your players and how it can have potential to get big results like in the World Cup. Sorry about the phone there.
All good.
But yeah, I was hyped because it kind of shows that the standard works. The standard just got raised a lot for Africa. It could have been Senegal.
Did you see that people were talking about how the Moroccan coach, he was attending a lot of these tactic seminars from like Mikel Arteta and whatever, always open to learning and you know, taking in information that he can use to better his team. Feels like a really like a starter from the bottom, now we're here type thing, you know?
I think it was also a good thing to see that all African teams had African coaches, because there's always been this stigma that like African teams can't do it with their own guys, which I think is very, it's very ignorant to say something like that, but it came, where it came from. Ghana, I thought Ghana was going to do better. I was kind of disappointed with that. I thought Cameroon,
I was going to say, like, what about Senegal? I feel like they were kind of one of those teams that could have made a run, potentially.
Yeah, it was potentially, but they lost
Mane. All Mane, right?
That's the thing. Losing Mane was the big if. To me, had Mane been there, maybe that England game goes differently. But perhaps not. We'll never really know. But losing Mane was a big, big miss for the team. You could see in the attack, like, it wasn't the same. I think
he's their best player. It's like if Korea didn't have Son.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the same. Yeah, it's the same impact. But I think the difference with that, though, is that Senegal's depth is bigger. I think that Senegal's
a bigger much better, depth, yeah.
Much better than South Korea. Iliman Ndiaye, you might not know about him, but he plays for Sheffield. And he was the striker that played in Mane's spot. And like he looked very good. Watch out for him. For Sheffield United, he's pretty decent, and I think he's gonna get a lot of attention because of this World Cup eventually. Cameroon finished on the Cameroon. I wasn't expecting much from Cameroon, but I am happy that we got the win against Brazil, even though it was the B team. To be honest, it was the B team. It was that story with Mbolo scoring against us. Him being born in Cameroon and like playing for Switzerland, which you see this happen every time. It wasn't a big story. I don't know why people made it such a big deal about it. It was funny. Back there was a lot of chat about it in Cameroon and stuff like that. To the point where I think the house where his relatives lives in Cameroon was like guarded by police because they were kind of worried about they were kind of worried about repercussions. It's like a video of like a police escort in front of his some of his relatives' house over there. So that was interesting, but. Yeah, he did his thing. I'm not mad at him for doing that. I don't think I would have done the same thing he did. Like, I wouldn't have celebrated, but I think he did good. I think, overall, he had a good tournament, though. Mbolo had a good tournament. Probably one of my favorite Swiss players, I'd say. We got the win against Brazil, so that was cool. But then, Onana, I don't know if you saw, but Onana retired from the national team, too.
There was some drama with that, right? Like, that was...
Yeah. So it was between him and Eto and the coach Rigobert Song. It's messy, but it's Cameroon, so we're not surprised. But yeah, it's disappointing because now you lose your best players.
Cameroon, eh?
Bro, that could be a whole episode in itself, really. But we can't talk too much about them for now. They showed up. They had a good win, and yeah, they made the country proud for 90 minutes for one game.
What about, let's talk about the round of 16. I think the biggest matchups were probably I think the Netherlands had a really good round of 16.
Against the US?
Yeah. I think a lot of people kind of picked the US to kind of upset them.
I had the US to upset, yeah.
Yeah.
But the Netherlands, I think tactic-wise, they just played them like, they outplayed them tactically. Like, they essentially let the U.S. have the possession of the ball, which they didn't really expect that, because a team like the Netherlands, they, I mean, you expect total football with them, right? And that means you get the ball and you're productive with the ball. You don't expect to have them counterattack at you every time they get, you lose the ball. I know a lot of people in the Netherlands camps were kind of disappointed with the way they played, but they got the win, so at the end of the day, it worked out in their favor. The
US, you think Van Gaal stays on?
I think he said he was going to leave already.
Yeah, did he? I didn't see that.
I think so. He should be replaced. But the thing is, they always replace it by the same guys. It's the same guys every
time. Yeah, they always have, like, it's going to be... Oh, yeah, it's Coleman coming in, right?
Yeah, Coleman is coming in, yeah.
Oh, so my God.
It's a rotation of the exact same guys every time. So you knew
it was so coming. Dumb, though. But, yeah.
Shout out Edgar Davis as well on the bench. I thought it was funny to see him back. I haven't seen Edgar Davis in a while.
What about... I mean, they had a lot of young players, I think, that kind of like took a step in this tournament. I think the biggest name is probably Gakpo.
By far, the biggest name. He won this tournament. He's gonna get a move.
I was gonna say, do we want to talk about that now? Because
maybe we can give it for later. But yeah, he's one of those.
Okay, let's keep it for later.
Yeah, he's one of those.
What about Argentina, Australia? Because I think that game was closer than people expected. I think Australia kind of Argentina dominated most of the game, and they kind of got like surprised a little bit. I was happy for Australia for making it this far and playing this level of football.
They almost, those two chances that they got. I can't remember. I don't know if you remember. One was saved by Martinez, but the other one, I think it was the right back, goes through two guys, takes the shot. I don't know. I think it was blocked. I can't remember. Like, those two chances would have shocked Argentina by far. I was very happy with how Australia played towards the end. They fought well, because it was never going to be like an easy game for them. They were always going to be like on the back foot of Argentina, just with the possession and stuff. But Argentina and their 2-0 leads, it's weird. It's hard to maintain for them for some reason. It's hard to maintain. Japan, I don't know why. Japan, Croatia was also a good game.
Yep, it was. I thought Japan was gonna do it.
I thought Japan was gonna do it too.
Croatia kind of gives off this vibe of like they're a little bit not weak, but like vulnerable. It feels like.
Yes.
It feels like they never go into a game being like a clear favorite. Like, we all expect them to take care of business. We kind of always expect their games to be close, no matter what. No matter who they're playing, you kind of always feel like the game's going to be close.
But their experience take over at one point, and then they just win the game.
Yeah. I mean, there was a joke that was saying between Morocco and Croatia that when they played each other, that we should just already go to penalties.
Oh, my God.
We knew it was going to be inevitable.
Inevitable, right, yeah. I mean, Livakovic, did he get 3 saves in that one? Or was it 3 misses from Japan?
I mean, he was one of the goalies of the tournament. He played extremely well. I think he saved 3 of them.
3 of them.
Which is crazy, right?
That was crazy.
A lot of goalies had really good penalty performances this tournament.
Except for Lloris.
But he was never
He's not known penalty, to be. Yeah, he's never been a big PK like save. He's never big on PK. That's like one of his worst skill set, actually. Yeah, credit to Japan.
What other round of 16? What other random 16 game did you want to mention?
We talk about like if Mania have been there, maybe it's a different game for England, but I still think England takes the win.
Yeah,
Brazil smacks South Korea. That was a wrap there.
I think we kind of expected that. I think we expected that.
Yeah, Portugal destroyed Switzerland without Ronaldo.
I mean, I think that's one of the stories of the tournament, right? The without Ronaldo part.
Yeah.
Because I mean, let's maybe do a little quick on that, because it kind of feels like people were upset that Ronaldo was getting benched, but and yet Portugal played their best football when he wasn't on the field.
Yeah.
So
João Felix looks good.
This is a trend, right? Like, it happened at United too, that, you know, he just wasn't getting on the field anymore, and he kind of made a big drama about it, but the results were better. Like, if you look at the results for United when Ronaldo was on the field and not on the field, like when he was starting and not starting, the results were way better when he wasn't starting. Like, I think it kind of just, you know, ties it all together that at this point in his career, like, he's not the same player. And I feel like he's having trouble coming to terms with that, with the play style that he forces everybody else to play when he's on the field. Because Portugal looked way more dynamic when he wasn't on the field, and when they can attack from, like, different parts of the field. They have so many good players that are technical and pacey, but they couldn't take advantage of it when they had to force their way through Ronaldo at the top. And he's still, like, one of the best finishers in the world, but you're kind of limiting your options when he's on the field. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's especially when you saw what happens when he's not playing. Like, Joffrey, like I said, Joffrey looks good. Gonçalo Ramos looks good. Bruno Fernandes probably was the best Portuguese player, I think, of the tournament.
Yeah, he had a great tournament.
Yeah, a great tournament, yeah. He looks definitely good. But it's hard to have him and Ronaldo play on the same team at the same time. And, like,
you think?
I mean, it's not necessarily, like, I think it's mostly on the leadership perspective, because they both want to, like, lead the team. Mm-hmm. But you can't really only have one head. You can't have two.
But nobody can lead the team nobody else can lead the team when Ronaldo's on the pitch.
Bruno tries, but he's not as good as a leader as Ronaldo, in my opinion. I wanted to see more of Leao. I thought Leao could play a bit more. Especially, I mean, because obviously they get bounced in the next round, but I didn't think that he played him enough for me. I don't know. It was
Leao?
Yeah, Leao. I expected him to play, like, as a starter.
What do you think happens to this Portuguese team, though? Do you think they kind of, like, ask Ronaldo to, like, not come back?
Well, they already sacked the coach.
I know. I mean, which I think was warranted, right? Because they had a really disappointing end to the tournament.
Yeah, but also I think it was the end of his cycle, because he did get the Euros for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Ronaldo's not going to retire. You know that already. Regardless, depending on where he plays, I think we'll see how the national team role, like, changes. Because if he goes to Saudi Arabia, like he says, like the reports are saying.
I mean, he got on a plane. Like, those pictures taken of him, like, there. You know, yeah. So I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think he will. I personally don't think he should go there, just because.
I mean, it kind of, like, really puts a damper on the end of his career, right? Because, yeah. Especially when you compare it to Messi, which everybody's going to do inevitably. Messi is still playing at the highest level, just won the World Cup, and Ronaldo is kind of, like, leaving European football, not even going back to Portugal, and going kind of to a league that's basically you go to when it's all about money, right?
Yeah.
So that's the issue there. Like, he can go there and score 100 goals and nobody's going to talk about it.
Nobody's going to care.
Exactly, nobody's going to care. So that's the thing with that. I think it would be a really big mistake. But I guess we'll see what he decides.
I mean, we spoke so many times about where we would think he should go. And at this point, I don't even think if those options are actually, like, viable anymore. I don't see why he would do with Napoli. Sporting Lisbon seems like the actual only option to me where he could do something.
I thought I would think going back to Portugal would be a great option for him. But I don't know if that's gonna, I don't know if he's considering that. Listen, I don't know if this move to Saudi Arabia is official, confirmed or whatnot, but
yeah.
If it is, I feel like that's kind of, like, super telling of how he feels and everything right now.
Yeah, because if he goes there, people are going to say it's for the money. And that's not something that he needs. Like, he doesn't need the money at all.
Oh, he doesn't need the money.
That's why he doesn't need the money. That's why I'm like, bro, if you're going to do something, go to MLS. Go to Miami. It's going to be hard, but at least people can see you. Like, nobody looks at the Saudi Arabian League. No disrespect. Like, they've had a good result.
No, it's the same equivalent of if he went to China. Like, a lot of players go to China, you never hear about them again.
Yeah. Unless you actually search for them, which I do sometimes. But,
like, what happened to Oscar? Remember Oscar?
Oscar's the only guy that was good. I was just thinking about Oscar. Like, that's the only guy that I'm like, bro, he went to, Shanghai. I think it was one of those Shanghai teams. And he was one of the best players in the league, if not the best player. And ever since then, he hasn't got back. Usually when they leave, they always come back.
But he didn't come back. Even going to the MLS would be, like, way better.
Yeah, I could see that. But
I don't know why we haven't heard any rumors about that, about, like, Ronaldo, like, rumored to go to the MLS or whatever.
You heard rumors.
I feel like that would be way more fitting than, I mean, there was rumors like a while ago, but like in his this recent like time where we're talking about like, you know, he's leaving. He just, you know, left Manchester United was his next step. We haven't heard anything about MLS, which I think is surprising.
I think the reason
I think that's probably one of the better options for him.
One of the reasons for that may also do with some off the field issue. I remember there was a story about him essentially being accused of something that I think that case got like I guess resolved eventually, but
he hasn't. I think it was resolved, but we kind of know what happened.
Yeah, and because of that, he couldn't like step on the American soil. And that may be why he doesn't want to go back to the States. Which
I did not know that it got to that extent. That's pretty crazy, actually.
If I remember correctly, like, when he signed for Juve, he had to do an American tour. And people kind of expected Ronaldo to be there. And he didn't go because it was America. I'm not exactly sure if I'm saying that right. But I'm pretty sure that he didn't go to that Juve, like, U.S. tour because of that. At that time, that case wasn't resolved, but... it is now, so I don't know if that changes anything. I mean, that would be. Yeah. That would explain why he wouldn't like consider MLS.
But I feel like we would have heard about that story, right? Like the fact that he can't go to the MLS because of that.
Yeah, I feel like we would have heard that about it. I mean, especially with the Athletic, I would expect the Athletic to cover that. But I think I'm 90% sure that this was resolved already. I can't remember where I read it, but I'm pretty sure it got resolved eventually. He should be good. Now, if you were to go to MLS, I think LAFC makes a little more sense. Goes back.
I think they would be the front runners.
Yeah.
I mean, they're already talked. Did you see the Inter Miami getting Messi?
Well, that's for.
And he's already kind of like agreed to deal with them.
They're saying that, but then they're also saying that he might sign for another year for PSG. So.
I don't know yet. But I think that's Paul, after his PSG time, I think that's kind of like, it feels like that's the next step for him. It feels like it's already decided. No matter how many years he's left at PSG, I think when he's done at PSG, that's his next step.
Right. And that would make
sense. It would be sick. I'm going to get an Inter Miami jersey. I mean, for those who don't know me, I'm a big David Beckham fan. So the fact that he's the owner of that team makes me want to support them.
Watch how
and choose an MLS team.
That's how quick the jersey sells the second he gets there.
I mean, dude, I told you, I tried to buy a Messi jersey before the World Cup started, and I couldn't find anything. The only ones I found were, like, off eBay, and they were, like, going for, like, $2,000. I was like, I'm just not going to do that. And then, like, a couple days later, I see a post coming out that's saying, like, all Messi jerseys with Argentina are sold out worldwide, which I've never seen that before for any athlete ever in my whole life, which is just, like, insane.
I've seen a few people actually mention or looking for that jersey, and they couldn't find it as well because it was sold out. So yeah,
And now they're making the 3-star one. So I'm probably gonna wait to see wait for that to come out and like for deals to like be okay. But it's just like insane. I don't know if anybody else in the whole world has the pull Messi does. I mean, it's always been Ronaldo, right? Because Ronaldo's way more like social media savvy. But I mean, Messi's posts all became like the most liked posts of Instagram. So it's like, I don't know. It's crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised if either Neymar or Mbappe reaches that level eventually.
Mbappe probably.
Mbappe probably more than Neymar, yeah.
I mean, did you see Neymar linked to Chelsea?
I didn't see that. Is that legit?
I don't know how legit it is, but I saw some rumors, but just rumors. Do you think he stays at PSG?
Yeah. I actually think PSG has a better chance of a Champions League this year.
I think PSG is winning the Champions League this season.
Yeah.
I'm like, calling it.
If you look at who...
Finally, Messi is getting the Ballon d'Or. For sure. 1,000% is getting the Ballon d'Or. I mean, after this World Cup win, there's no chance that anybody else gets it. You don't think he's winning Ballon d'Or? I'd make a bet with you right now.
I think Mbappe takes it.
Really?
Yes.
After Messi just won the World Cup and Messi's been putting up crazy stats?
Mbappe had a hat-trick in the final.
But he didn't win the World Cup. Messi took this Argentina team
who's the top scorer in this World Cup?
If you take Mbappe out of this France team, they still make the final. If you take Messi out of this Argentina team, they don't make it out of the groups.
No, Kev, that's not Kev.
Lost against Saudi Arabia.
If you take Mbappe out of this team, you think they make it to the final?
I think they can still make it to the final.
To who? Everybody what? outside of Griezmann and maybe Tchouameni. And
bro, look at this France team, top to bottom, is better than this Argentina team. The only player that Argentina, the only player that Argentina have that would make it into the France team is Messi. And maybe
Fernandez. Enzo Fernandez.
You taking Enzo Fernandez over Tchouaméni?
I'm saying they would play well together.
Okay. If you had to choose one,
I'm taking Enzo Fernandez over Rabiot.
If you had to choose one, fair. But Rabiot isn't even like, you know, this France team's supposed to have Pogba. Pogba wasn't there. But like Camavinga should have played in the midfield. The fact that he was playing left back for like half the games that he even played.
No, he never played.
Crazy in itself.
Yeah. Because they were down, because Hernandez got injured early.
But Tchouaméni and Camavinga, by far, I take them over Enzo Fernandez in the midfield.
Bro, he might join them in Madrid. We don't even know.
It's not impossible, but I mean, you're telling me... Okay, look at the back four. Look at the back four. Who are you taking? Who are you taking over the French back four?
The French back four is good. It's better than
okay,
Argentina's.
It's good. Tell me who you take. Okay, is there any one player in Argentina you would take over the French back four?
No.
Okay. And
I
in the midfield,
change Martinez for Lloris, though.
I mean, that's close. That's close. I would for sure. But if you're going up top, Messi's fucking dragging Higuain 2.0 to the final.
Yeah, but that's okay. Put Alvarez instead of Lautaro.
Okay, and if you take Alvarez, I guess Di Maria would maybe. But like, you're taking Dembele over Di Maria.
I think you would because you don't. That's a tough one though because Dembele didn't have such a great tournament himself.
No, and Di Maria had a great tournament, but
he played two games. But he
I know,
showed
but
up.
He, but when he played, he was so impactful. That's
solid.
The thing.
When he played, he was solid. He probably would go for Di Maria.
I don't know. This French team had the most talent of the whole World Cup. It was them in Brazil that had the most talent in the whole World Cup. Messi dragged this team to the final. Messi has been the heart and soul of this Argentina international team since he's been there. All he's done is level up everybody else on the team.
What is the main?
This team isn't even close. This team isn't even close to the French team. If you take out Mbappe and you take out Messi, France beats this Argentina team like 4-0.
I don't know about 4-0, but I think they do beat them.
It's a convincing win. It's a convincing win.
No, it's not a convincing win. It's a close win.
It's a convincing
win,
dude.
Convincing win?
Do you know what a convincing win is?
Like 3-0.
It's like a 3-0, it's like a 4-1, it's like a never in doubt type of win.
Nah, I don't think so. Not this
French. They played each other 100 times out of 100. I think our France wins probably 95% of those
2018
games.
2018 was better than 2022. This 2018 French team was better than 2022.
Yeah, and they would have been even better this year if they didn't have the injuries. If like, Benzema was there, he would have played. If Pogba was there, he would have made the even bigger impact.
For sure. At that point, I would have been like, okay, yeah, no question there. But Mbappe, bro, England.
This France team beat Argentina last World Cup.
Because of who?
What do you mean, because of who?
Who was the best player at that game for France?
Pogba.
I beg to differ, but it's all good.
Pogba was the leader of that France.
Yeah,
team.
But that game.
Either way.
That one game.
Either way.
Yeah.
I don't think we can argue that France has a better squad, top to bottom. Better subs, better everything.
Yes, but I'm just saying, like, even though they have the better squad, they have the better squad.
You're arguing that Mbappe is more important to France than Messi is to Argentina, which is not the case. It's not even close.
I'm telling you that in those games, right? If you take out Mbappe, France doesn't beat England without Mbappe, even though Mbappe didn't play much.
Okay, and does Argentina beat Mexico without Messi?
Okay, that was one action. Yes, they do not beat Mexico without Messi.
Okay, and we're talking about Mexico, not England.
Yeah, I agree. But then,
my point has been...
I don't know.
My point has been made.
I think your point works until the final.
No, it doesn't.
Because if you take out Mbappe during the final, it's a blowout.
For Argentina. Yeah, not if you take out Messi as well.
if you take out Messi and no, yes, 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 absolutely no. If you take out, okay, if you take out Messi and Mbappe, you just take out if you replace it.
I'm telling you, if you take out Messi and Mbappe, France demolishes this Argentina team.
No, not in the final. Not in the final.
It's not close. It's not close, dude. Di Maria was the best
player.
Di Maria didn't even play the full game.
Bro, he had two big moments.
Yes, and how did he get those moments? Messi was involved in the play, dude.
Not the first, not the PK. That was Dembele's mistake.
Okay, but the build-up. Messi's always involved in all the dangerous chances. All the dangerous chances that Argentina get, Messi is involved.
I agree.
Always.
But you could say the same thing about Mbappe.
No.
Where were the chances coming from?
Dude, Mbappe didn't do anything until the 80th minute.
Yeah, but that's... Who else did in France? Nobody else did.
The Argentina team... I know. But what I'm saying is they were still in the game. Then Mbappe took over.
Yeah. They were in the game because Messi couldn't finish. No, not Messi, but like Argentina couldn't finish. They couldn't finish them off. At 1-0, at 2-0, they couldn't finish them off. We've talked about how they're fragile with a 2-0 lead for the entire tournament. Every knockout game, they've been 2-0 up. They almost got cut back. Australia almost did it. Netherlands did it. And, I mean, if it wasn't for Martinez, Netherlands would have probably beat Argentina. That's the game that Messi owes Martinez. Martinez saved them that game.
Yep.
And England should have beaten France.
That was a close one. I thought... The thing is, like, England are so, like... They just lack confidence.
Oh, they lost. They missed opportunities. This is a missed opportunity.
They just don't have. They don't have that like deadliness about them that like these other top teams have.
And it's not like they. No, and you can't even blame anybody else but themselves. They had the chances to take that game. The chances were there. The PK.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing with you on that one.
The PK for Kane. The second PK should have been given to. I will repeat that point. The second PK should have given to someone else. I don't care who. But it can't be Kane twice. Not against Lloris.
Mm.
Because of the mind games and everything. You bury the first one perfectly. But don't even give yourself the chance to... Like, he's going to question himself for sure. On the second one.
That's the thing. It's just like... But Kane is like one of the best penalty takers. So that's the thing.
I agree. But the thing is... If you got to think about the...
You got to trust your guy at some point.
You got to trust your guy. But you're playing... Your guy's playing against his guy.
And I know. But you can say the same thing about the other way around, right? Like that... That Kane knows Lloris and how he would react to things and whatnot. That's so it's kind of like the mind games go both ways, right?
But that's how you beat them the first time.
But you give the advantage to the goalie, I think, in that case.
Yeah, because now he's thinking about, okay, he knows I'm going this way. So now I have to trick him into thinking I'm going the other way.
No, but it's all we can go back and forth about this. If he scores, we don't talk about it like this.
Yeah, it's over. No, I think it's just overthinking.
And people miss for so many reasons. You know?
Yeah, that's true. You're right. It's just that at that moment, like that's the one moment where they're like England needed.
We're gonna remember because England lost.
Bro, I just needed England to do an upset. I just wanted the upset to see what England could have done had they gone through. Because after that, I mean, Morocco was a winnable game. Even though Morocco was in the form of their life.
Yep.
And Bono was unreal against Portugal. That was CR7. I mean, that's where that was CR7's limit. They couldn't do anything there. João Felipe was probably the best player for Portugal that game.
I hope he gets a move.
I think he will. It's just a matter of who. The thing is now is like you can't ruin this move because now there's no excuses anymore.
I think he's gonna go for cheaper.
Where do you think he goes?
What do you think?
Where do you think he goes?
My instinct is Chelsea, but I think he goes to the Prem. I always said he would fit super well in. Like a Man City, but he's not going to Man City. There's no way.
I guess the Arsenal.
I could see Arsenal. I don't see Arsenal dishing out the money for him, though. That's the thing.
Not a 100 mil for sure. He's gotta be
no
much.
Like, how much do you think they would be willing to pay?
Honestly, like.
Like 60? Do you think they'd be willing to pay 60?
I don't think they would. I think 50 would be the most. they paid 50 for Ozil, so I think they would pay 50 for him.
Yeah, and I think at this point, Joao Felix is a better investment, age-wise and everything.
Yeah.
And Gabriel Jesus is kind of like, you know, he's injured and he's not playing well either.
The thing is, we probably need more so of a guy that we know can finish. We know him, he can create, but can he finish? Not a question.
Like, where would you have Joao Felix play for Arsenal if he signed?
It'd be a number 10, but that's the issue. We already have Odegaard.
Yeah, exactly. Could you see Joao Felix playing on the wing?
Nah, it's not the same thing. He's not a one. He doesn't do 1v1s. Although he does it, but it's not his best skill set.
I don't see him playing as a pure striker either.
Yeah, he's a false 9 or a 10. He's a creator. He's essentially Griezmann.
Or like a Firmino.
Or Firmino. I would say more so Griezmann than Firmino. Stylistically. I mean, even when they play together with Atletico, it looks okay because Griezmann kind of knows that he leaves the playmaking to Joao Felix, but it doesn't look so great. And I can't prove this, but I'm pretty sure that most games Atletico plays with Griezmann, they don't start Joao Felix or vice versa. I mean,
that's why he needs to move.
That's why he needs to move. Yeah. I don't know. I can.
Yeah, let's talk about the semifinal.
Yeah. Before we go to that, sorry. Brazil. I just have one question for Brazil in that Croatia Brazil quarterfinal. Why does Rodrigo start your PKs?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like they have so many good options. But yeah. Maybe they.
Who's your I don't remember. Best one,
they
though?
Do a lot of substitutions, like a lot of people not on the field anymore.
Best one was
like,
Neymar, though.
Yeah,
Neymar didn't even get a chance.
That's a big one, eh?
That's why I'm saying that the one of the things that I've noticed is like you start your PKs with your best player every time. That's like no question. I would rather start well. No, and that gives you confidence for the first. But if you start bad, you might not even get a chance to get to number 5.
Yeah. I'm surprised they put him all the way there.
Yeah, I mean...
like, that's genuinely surprising to me.
I mean, they were very... I've seen Rodrigo take PKs before, and I know he can take them. But at that stake, the stakes were too high at that point. Like, you got to start with your best shooter. Now, at this
point, you got to put Neymar at least third, I think.
He's got to be... I think to me, he's got to be first.
You guarantee he's taking one.
You got to be guaranteed to take one at least, yes. Because if he doesn't take one and then you lose, now it's on you. But if you take one and you lose...
That's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened. But if you miss it, it's like, okay, fine. Fair enough. But at least he was there. Now, like, you can't even say, like, oh... I mean, Neymar did his thing, but Brazil let him down.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, semis were kind of disappointing.
I think those were kind of like the slowest, not the slowest, but like the least exciting out of any of the rounds, maybe. Because I think France dominated Morocco.
I disagree with that, actually.
You don't think?
Morocco was the better team for most of the second half.
I think they played well, but I feel like they never. I kind of always felt like France was
they would never
take care of business. I never got the feeling. And when that's the case, I kind of feel like that team. You know, they're playing. That means they're playing their game. They're kind of the game plan's going to how they expected, because Morocco was a really good defensive block the whole time, the whole tournament. So I think France knew that. And you know, if you overextend as a team going against a defensive block, you're setting yourself up for a counter-attacking goal against you. So I think they kind of knew that, and they played to that.
I also do think that they got a lot of injuries as well. They lost Saïss early. That was a big loss. They lost a lot of players. Like, I think Mazzuari got injured as well. And that was like two of their best players in the two of the back four lost right there.
Mm-hmm.
Injury, the depth wasn't so much there as I thought it was, and that kind of plays a part, because there's a few chances where I'm like, had they had their starters, or if Saïss was there, maybe it doesn't go that way. Especially on the second goal for Colomoni. That was the one where I'm like, damn, Saïss probably should have blocked that. But I just thought Morocco was tired. They had no more juice. And France,
it's tough to keep it up the whole
time.
It's
tough to keep up that. Yeah, especially that style of play. It's tough to keep up. Yeah, France took care of business. Because the thing is, France was never the best team in, like, ever since the quarterfinal. They didn't look so well. Even in the group stage.
They kind of look vulnerable.
Yeah, in the group stage, they look very vulnerable. In the quarterfinal, they did not look good against England, but they still got the result. I mean, it says a lot about a team when you don't play well, you still can get the result. It shows how good
everything. That's the sign of a good team.
Yeah.
It's the sign of a great team.
But if you do that consistently, every time you're going to get found out. And it almost happened.
You're playing with fire.
I'm playing with fire.
That's the thing.
I'm playing with fire. I mean, Argentina on the other side, like, Rashad, I don't think Rashad had a chance on goal.
No, it kind of felt like they were playing on the back foot the whole game. I'm really surprised at how Argentina dominated possession in that one.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because they didn't do it bad for the entire tournament. They barely focused. Well, I mean, they did, but Rashad used to have their part as well.
That's the thing with Croatia. They kind of always, like we said, like we always felt like they never were going to come in as the favorite. And they kind of always, I feel like they always let the game come to them. And Argentina took the game and Croatia just never got their chance.
Yeah, bro. I mean, the PK was kind of iffy to me. Like on the Alvarez contact on Livakovic, I thought it was kind of harsh.
Yeah, it was a little soft. It was a little soft.
It was like, what is he supposed to do? Like not stand in front of the keeper and let the ball go through, like, kind of harsh. And that's probably how, like, that's the bad start to the game, and then from there, it went downhill from there. Like, Vardiol had one bad moment the entire tournament, and that was Messi. Outside of that, like, he's been the best defender in the tournament, in my opinion.
I agree. He's going to get a big move. I think I see him go to, Madrid.
I think I wonder what the number is going to be, because Madrid is also like, they just invested in Rudiger, and they already had Alaba.
So if not Madrid, who do you think?
I mean, it's either Madrid or Chelsea, according to the reports. Like,
I could see him go to Chelsea. I mean, they need a defender.
I think Chelsea needs a defender more than Madrid, because Madrid has Rudiger, Alaba, and
Militao. Just feels like a Madrid, you know, Galacticos kind of signing, where they get the next big young talent at the position, and they're set. You know, like they did it with Camavinga and Tchouaméni.
Yeah, for the next.
You know, they lose Modric and Cruz basically, and they already got like the next best pairing.
Because I think Rudiger's already in his 30s. Rudiger's 29. So that's actually not a bad age for a center back. Alaba is 30, and Militao is the youngest one of the three. He is 24. Okay, so Militao is 24. So yeah, you could go for Guardiola, but I would be surprised if he went there as opposed to Chelsea, because Chelsea, I think Chelsea needs him more than Madrid does. I would argue.
I agree.
Don't sleep on City, though. Don't sleep on City.
They don't need them.
They don't need it, but bro, they're gonna find a way, bro. They bought how many center backs in the last three couple years? They're gonna find a way to get in.
You're not wrong.
All right, final.
You're not wrong. Yeah, final. I mean, this was one of the best finals I've watched. It was kind of like, it kind of felt like, quote unquote, boring, because, you know, Argentina dominated the whole game. They were up 2-0. It kind of felt like it was all going to happen. Messi was finally getting his World Cup. Everything was going well. And then 80th minute, it's just like a total PSG-like collapse where they fucking lose their shit. They get overwhelmed. Mbappe does Mbappe magic. And then it's 2-2. And you kind of feel like, oh, man, this is it. I can't believe we were all content with, you know, Messi getting his World Cup. We're all happy. The game was a little bit boring. And then everything gets turned on its head so quickly. And we're like, I can't believe Messi's going to lose this World Cup. Again, another World Cup loss for Messi. Devastating end to his international career. Mbappe's getting back-to-back World Cups. He's going to beat all the records. And then, I mean, I was surprised that Argentina managed to score the first goal. in overtime because I was like, I can't believe, like, France had completely turned the tides of the momentum of the game. And then obviously, I think the penalty is a little bit unlucky. Mbappe obviously finishes it, gets his hat trick. And then we go to a shootout where Martinez, I think, is the name of the story there.
Don't forget the overtime.
Yeah, I mean, the overtime was crazy.
That save.
I thought it was one of the best finals. The save, yeah, I didn't even mention the save, but that's probably the... I mean, we talked about this offline. We had a little bit of a debate. But I think this Martinez save in overtime, last play of the game in the 124th minute in overtime, to keep the World Cup hopes alive on a one-on-one chance, I think that's the greatest save in World Cup history. With everything on the line, the stakes, the context of everything, of which team, who's on the team, Messi's last game. Like, I just think that's probably, like, the stakes are just so high in the level of the save. Ah, man, it was just beautiful. My jaw dropped when I saw the ball coming. I was like, I can't believe it's ending like this, 124th minute.
I know. I'm still torn.
I think everybody had the same thought.
I have no question, but I'm still torn because I still think that the Casillas save is, like, a very, very cool second. It's one of those saves where it's like, kind of have to be the placement. Placement is everything. I think the Colomwani took the shot. It's a harder technique than Robin. Robin was on a breakaway essentially, so that's easier to like finish. But Colomwani is harder to finish. The fact that he actually got it on target in like bottom corner, best placement.
The thing is that like the ball was he was so like kind of centered in the box that as the keeper you don't know which way he's going because he could go left, he could go right. He has both options easily available to him. And yeah, the ball is a little bit on the volley. But I still think that the fact that he did get it on target. And Martinez, you know, he's got to come out of his box. He's got to close down the angles as much as possible. And he's got to get on the ball enough to deflect it off the net. Because he's like spread out wide. That's it. Like, it's hitting his leg. It could still go in. But, I mean, he makes a save and it's legendary.
I think like once we go back into it, it'll probably be recognized as one of the greatest saves in history, in the World Cup history. I think it will be. I think you'll be right eventually. But they're gonna put the Casillas save like in contention for that for sure. But I am leaning towards Martinez though. I think it does. Like you said, the context matters.
Messi finally gets his World Cup, you know, like during it's the final. It's 124th minutes, last play of the game. You know, the context of like this, the fact that, you know, they lost the final two World Cups ago. The fact that, you know, they got eliminated by France, the World Cup previous to that. A lot of it goes into that moment. The fact that they were up 2-0, choked, up 3-2. Conceded another penalty.
Some recurring teams in that final, actually. Like, Argentina in the 2-0 lead. France starting the game second best. Literally, most of the games in the knockout rounds. Like, that was a very recurring team, and it kind of showed out in the final. Honestly, my favorite final, for sure.
It was my favorite final, yeah, for sure.
I agree with that. It's definitely my favorite final.
Let's talk about some players before we wrap it up that we think, you know, I think a lot of people mentioned some big names that, you know, showed out this tournament that probably deserve some big moves. Okay. I think we should just highlight a couple of them. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I got a roster here. I got a squad.
Yeah, let's go.
First of all, Unahi from Morocco. He's about to get a move. No question. And you know, he plays for Angers. I guess he plays for Angers as well.
Angers.
Fall. He's also gonna get a move.
You think?
He has to.
Yeah. Do you think they go to where do you think?
I think Spain fits them better.
Prem?
I think Spain. He
I think like a Newcastle maybe.
Somebody I don't know. I don't see Unahi apparently like Barca was interested in Unahi.
Interesting.
I think Spain fits them well, but Bufal's experience in both Spain and England. I wouldn't be surprised if he went to either. All it is though is that Angers' president is gonna get a lot of phone calls, which he already has.
He's gonna get paid.
They're gonna get paid for those. Those two for sure. Livakovic, the keeper, Croatia.
Yeah, he was the normal Ochoa of the tournament. You know, every year, every tournament we get the Ochoa masterclass.
The Ochoa masterclass.
This year it's
Livakovic masterclass.
This year's Livakovic.
I wonder where he's gonna go, cause he could definitely go to a lot of options. He plays for Champions League club in Zagreb, but probably not gonna stay at Zagreb for too long. He is 26, so it's a pretty good age to move. Buchanan, Alistair Johnson. Alistair Johnson
already got his move.
He already got his move.
I think Buchanan, like, I think he'd be a great fit for like Bayern. I know he wouldn't be starting. Ooh. But I feel like I'd love him in that system.
You want to have?
I think it would suit him really well.
Have two wingers, two Canadian wingers with Bayern.
It would work.
Be interesting, but I don't think it'll. I don't think Bayern. I don't think he would play.
No, he wouldn't play. He wouldn't play. That's the thing. He wouldn't play. But I can see him being successful in a system like that.
Agreed. Maybe a Leipzig. Maybe a Leipzig or Dortmund. Like it's gotta be a system that loves to use their winger into 1v1 situations.
Oh, he'd be so good at Dortmund. He'd be so good at Dortmund.
But I don't know if he moves this winter or he moves next in the summer, though. It's another one.
He's not going to move this winter, I don't think.
No, because Bruges is still in the Champions League. So they definitely need him more. But yeah, watch out in summer. I think he could get something good in the summer. Kamal Miller as well. Kamal Miller, I hope, gets a move. Thought he was Canada's best defender, and that's as much that if that says anything. So we ever see? I mean,
I think Atiba played really well, and he's gonna get a move.
Yeah, chill out. Okay. Enough with the Atiba slander. All right, the man is 40.
Nah, he deserves all the slander. He should not have played as much as he played.
Man is 40.
All right,
man.
Let's move on. I don't want to talk about Atiba. I don't want to talk about Atiba.
Chill, bro. Chill out, Atiba, bro. Dumfries. We mentioned Timber, we mentioned Cody Gakpo, we mentioned Cody Gakpo is gonna get a move.
Gakpo is getting in January. Please get into United. Get into United in January, please.
He's gonna move this January for sure. Yeah, Enzo Fernandez, young player of the tournament.
Oh yeah.
I'm saying Liverpool,
future Real Madrid player.
Madrid, Liverpool, somebody's gonna take him. Julian Alvarez already got the move. Technically, he already got the move.
Yeah, he was a stud. He should have won Young Player of the Tournament, I think.
Yeah, probably should have won. Honestly, it could have been either way, but yeah, I think they're both from the River Plate. It's funny.
That's not surprising.
It's not surprising. River Plate, bro. They produce the town. They produce. Another player that got meant that didn't mention before, Ritsu Doan from Japan. I thought he was probably Japan's best player.
I was gonna say
Germany and Spain as well. Played well against, especially the Germany game. He plays in Germany right now, but he could probably play for a bigger team in Germany or go to England, something like that. Wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Especially when Kaoru Mitoma is doing this thing in Brighton again. Had a good game today.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese influence in the Prem is coming back. Was it evident in the first place? I don't know, but it's there.
You think? I know it's probably unlikely because his move was kind of recent. Do you think Richarlison could get a move?
Very unlikely.
I know, because he just recently moved. But yeah. I feel like in the near future, there could be somebody that's looking for a striker will definitely try to consider him. You know?
Inter?
Yeah. No, they need to keep Lautaro and Lukaku. Yeah. I think that's their...
Kangin Lee from South Korea. I thought probably one of my favorite South Korean players outside of Son. He plays in Spain, actually, but I would be surprised if he plays for a different team. I know Monaco is interested in him in the past. But I'm looking forward to see what he does. Iliman Ndiaye.
Ooh, one name we did not mention. Maybe this is the last name we mentioned. But McAllister for Argentina.
Ooh, yes. You're right. Very right.
I think he was one of the biggest talked about names for the Argentina team.
I completely forgot about McAllister, yeah.
I know. And I mean, for Brighton that have been superb this season, one of the biggest like underdog stories, dark horses of the Premier League this season. And he was like a huge part of why that Argentina team was consistent throughout, like, and he had a big role to play. And I think he deserves a move, I think.
I know Chelsea's interested, I know Arsenal's interested. I think in the summer for sure.
I could see him going to Arsenal. I could see that.
I would love that actually. I would very much love that.
Yeah. I think he fits in the Prem for sure. So I think he tries to stay there. Maybe a Spurs.
That Messi, McAllister, and that Fernandez and the Alvarez like spine was like instrumental for Argentina's win. In the end.
Yep. I agree. I think we should just some closing remarks. I'm just extremely happy that Messi got his World Cup. I think this finally puts an end to the GOAT debate. Everybody was kind of like already on board with that. I think a World Cup definitely separates the two. But I think that I haven't been this happy about a final in any sport in so long. Probably since like the New York Giants won the Super Bowl.
Do you even see that?
Because it was 2011.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. I wasn't there.
But it just feels like so happy. Like my mom has a lot of family in France. I've always loved the French team. I was really happy last World Cup, but it kind of didn't feel like as monumental as Messi getting his first World Cup after all the international struggles this man has endured. You know, finally wins the Copa America, wins the Finalissima, gets to the World Cup, loses the first game against Saudi Arabia, carries the team to the final and beats France for his first World Cup. It kind of feels like Messi literally like did everything that you can do for football. And I mean, there's nobody else that deserved it more than he did. He's literally done everything. And I don't know. It's just so makes me my heart full of happiness to finally see him like lift the trophy and like it be so well deserved.
I will say the world was definitely ready for Messi. Like the world, like people wanted Messi.
Yeah, and not because like we hate France, but like they're the dominant juggernauts who like are expected to win. You know. Yeah. So those teams usually get made out to be the villain.
Also, they already had Messi one.
They just won one, exactly.
Honestly, I had France.
A lot of people were happy when they won last time.
I had France winning it. I thought France was going to do it again.
Wait, I had Argentina winning it, and my bracket won our tournament, by the way.
Oh right, I forgot. Oh, yeah, I took an L on that. Yeah, that wasn't great.
Yeah,
that
boy.
That was a great tournament for me. In terms of bracket, like a lot of brackets were busted early, I feel like.
Yeah, because some of the upsets kind of ruin a lot of brackets.
Most of it, obviously, if we're being honest. But yeah, I think. Oh, one thing. I don't know if you do. You know who Peter Drury is?
Yeah.
Commentator. Probably the best commentator of the World Cup. Shout out to him. He had a couple great plays. Every time on Twitter, I'll look at the game, but I won't notice him. And then on Twitter, I'll be like, "Oh shoot, he said that."
That was him.
Have the great lines for them. And, no, I don't know what it is with British commentators in football, bro. I mean, I know what it is, but like, they're great at what they do. I think this is gonna fuel Mbappe. It's gonna fuel Mbappe for the future.
It's gonna be. I think PSG win the Champions League this season.
Yes, but I also think that next World Cup is gonna be a problem. France is gonna be a problem.
They're going to be the favorites to win it again. They have so much young talent.
Most likely. They're going to be the favorites to win it again. And I think they will. I'm telling you right now, France will win the next World Cup.
Put money on that right now.
I'm putting money right now, bro. If you look at the team, like, most players are...
A lot of other teams are going to be aging out. I think the favorites are going to be either France or England, I think.
It's not going to be England.
I mean, England has a lot of young talent as well. Yeah. It's just England needs to kind of put that final product together. Like, I feel like there were a couple managerial decisions away from beating France. Like the fact that Rashford didn't play as much as he should have this World Cup when he was like extremely in form and one of the best goal scorers on the team. A lot of the substitutions were kind of whack. The starting 11 decisions and kind of just like he was way too patient with making his decisions. And it didn't end up being the proper decisions. And we've seen this from Southgate a couple times already, like subbing on two cold players who didn't even play 1 minute in overtime in the Euros to come in and try to take a penalty. that's just asking for them to miss. So yeah, I think Southgate brought England. I think Southgate brought England as far as he can, and if they don't change him, I think they're gonna have the same results.
What happens with
but
him?
That's that.
What happens with him?
But yeah, I mean, this was a genuinely crazy World Cup. I have a lot of friends that aren't even football fans that ended up watching this World Cup because of how hype it was, which was really fun.
I mean,
do you have any comments?
I mean, for all it's worth, on the field, considering, like I said earlier, like, considering the criticism that was like put on Qatar with like off the field issues, the field was pretty great. This was probably one of the best World Cups we've seen. Probably, I mean, to me, it was one of my favorite World Cups in my lifetime, if not the favorite one.
Agreed.
I think this was the right ending. Messi finally getting it, and then Mbappe.
I think everybody can be happy.
Everybody can be happy with this because it wasn't as bad of a final as it started to be, and it ended up becoming one for the history books.
It's like, I think if you love the sport, you can't be upset seeing one of the GOATs win the greatest trophy in the sport.
No, he completed football.
Exactly, and he needs the Super Ballon d'Or now.
Honestly, if I was him, I would have retired that moment.
Nah, he needs another Champions League. And another Ballon d'Or.
He's not going to win the Ballon d'Or, but I think he's going to get a Champions League.
He's going to win the Ballon d'Or.
Mbappe's going to win the Ballon
d'Or. He's winning the Ballon d'Or.
Mbappe's going to win the Ballon d'Or. I want to put money on that one. I'll put money on that.
Yeah, you want to bet?
I will bet that.
Messi won the World Cup, dude. There's no chance he's not getting it.
Mbappe's going to go with the guy at the Ballon d'Or. Messi doesn't have a hat-trick in the World Cup.
He won the World Cup, dude.
I'm telling you.
Two goals instead of three.
I'm telling you, Mbappe's winning it. How much you want to put?
Nah.
You want to put
20 bucks.
Speak offline or you want to speak here? And keep it like
20 bucks on the record. $20.
20 bucks on the record? All right, bet. You got it. Craig, listen to this.
Messi wins the World Cup. If neither Messi or Mbappe somehow don't win it, then the bet is void.
Okay, agreed.
All right, good. All right, let's end it. Let's wrap it up. This was a really long episode.
Really good episode. Yeah. So, I guess you want to wrap it up or you want me to wrap it up?
Yeah, I'll wrap it up. Episode 81 in the books. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, really appreciate it.
Every 2 weeks from now on.
Make sure you follow us on our... Yeah, every 2 weeks. Make sure you follow us on our social medias. @forward_pressing. We're going to start getting way more consistent with the posts there and interacting with you guys and trying to grow the channel. We're really motivated. Back with a vengeance, and we really appreciate your presence, your listening, and hope to see you next week.
Peace.